I invite you to stand. Look at Matthew chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you that you allow us to come to celebrate your Son. And thank you for the price he paid for our sins. And thank you that we celebrate this resurrection. There's a world that is organized against God. But as we notice through the centuries, they cannot stop the name of Jesus from moving forward. And Lord, I thank you for every person who's come here today. As I share from your word, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing unto you as I tell the story about Jesus and his resurrection. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Chattanooga, Tennessee, they were having Sunday school in a little Baptist church. It's the four-year-olds. Can you imagine teaching the four-year-olds on Easter Sunday? Teacher got up and said, "What did we celebrate last Sunday?" A little four-year-old girl raised her hand. She said, "That was Palm Sunday." And the teacher said, "Fantastic. You know your Bible." So she said, What are we celebrating today?" The same girl raised her hand and said, "We're celebrating Easter." Teacher said, "Fantastic. You know your Bible." The teacher said, "What are we celebrating today?" The same little girl raised her hand and said, "The risen Lord Jesus Christ." And the teacher said, "That's fantastic." And before the teacher could say anything else, the little girl said, "And if he saw his shadow, he has to go back in for 7 more weeks. What a great day when Mary gave birth to the Son of God. God became flesh and dwelt among us, and they called his name Jesus. What a wonderful day, as we remembered on Friday. Jesus paid that sacrificial, substitutionary, atoning death, shed his blood for the price of our sins. What a wonderful day. And then today we celebrate the resurrection, the living Savior. What a wonderful day. And then you remember just 50 days after the resurrection, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down on the church in the book of Acts. And that's where we're going to spend some of our time today, because most of us here today know the simple story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But what do we need to do with this message? Do we need just to come once a year and praise God for what he did through his Son? Or do we need to get the message beyond the four walls of our church? Turn with me at Acts chapter 2. And first of all, you'll see that Paul is preaching after the Holy Spirit has come. The church has been inaugurated. And his audience, listen, his audience is Israel. His audience, they are the religious leaders, some of them that had Jesus put to death. And he begins with the resume of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 2, verse 22. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." He says the calling card of the Messiah to the Jews, he says they were miracles, wonders, and signs. We think about miracles. That's talking about the powerful character of the deeds that Jesus did. When we think about the calling card of wonders, That was the marvel in the eyes of the beholder as Jesus performed miracles. And then when you see that word signs, that simply means that those miracles taught a spiritual truth and led to faith in Christ. When you move to the book of Acts, and we know that Jesus, he's ascended. When you find wonders and signs, they're used synonymously as you go through the book of Acts. Those signs and those wonders, again, were there to teach spiritual truths and lead people to faith. Notice, secondly, the responsibility for the cross in Acts 2, verse 23. This is interesting. This is not seeker-friendly. He's talking to the Jews and people that put Jesus to death. He says in verse 23, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. Peter said, this man, he was compared to the fact that he is the Son of God. And Peter strongly emphasizes, he said, this was the predestined plan for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was handed over to you, he was supposed to be your Messiah. But he said, you're the ones, the Jews, who put him to death. And then you went out and got some godless people, the Romans, to carry out the crucifixion. You say, well, this was pre-planned by God. Yes, it was. But God did not remove choice from these Jews. Therefore, they participated in the crucifixion, and they are responsible for their actions. They rejected Jesus. This was the blackest moment in Israel's history. Most of you have heard of Billy Graham, the great evangelist. He had an associate that was so wonderful. His name was Cliff Barrows. Cliff Barrows told Billy Graham one time about how he disciplined his two little children. He said, Barrows said, my son and daughter were always in trouble. He said, it didn't matter what I did. He said, they would never obey me nor my wife. So he said, one day they committed some more little sins. And he said, they weren't listening to me. So he said, come back here to the back room in the house. So he took the two little children back there. And when he did, he took off his belt, and then he took off his shirt. And he gave his belt to his little daughter and said, I want you to give me 10 lashes on my back. And the dad bent over. And he said, I want you to know I was not a hero that day because it actually hurt. And he said, then I looked at my son and said, I want you to give me 10 lashes with my belt. And the little boy and the little girl started crying, and so did Cliff Barrows. He said, when they finished giving me 20 licks, we all hugged and cried. He said, it hurt. Was I smart? No. Was I a hero? No. Did I ever do that again? No. But he said, I never had to discipline my children again. And I explained to them somebody had to take the punishment for their wrongdoings. And that's what Jesus did for us, because we're held responsible for our sins. Now, look at verse 24, the resurrection. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And then Peter goes back as he's preaching here to Psalm 16, the words of David. I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. And then Peter says, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David, who died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses to it. After spending a verse on Jesus' life and a verse on Jesus' death, then Peter spends 9 verses talking about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice he says here, Israel rejected and crucified Jesus, but he says, God raised him up again. Read a little further. He put an end to the agony of death. That agony there, that's the Greek word oidos, which means birth pains. Peter's argument in Psalm 16, he said, nope, this wasn't David, because David's body would still be in the grave. David was given a word of prophecy about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jews would know the Old Testament scriptures. And he said, the prophecy that David gave has come to pass in Jesus, the Son of God. There's a lady named Jeannie. She's French. She's 58 years old. A court, by mistake, declared her dead back in 2017. She's not dead. She's very much alive. Since they declared her dead, she can't get a job. She can't get insurance. She can't pay taxes. Isn't that a blessing? And she just doesn't exist. She can't even get a bank account. So she has gone back to court. She's got a letter from a doctor that says she is alive, but the court rejects the letter. She says, I can't do anything because, quote, I no longer exist. She got a lawyer, and they're trying to get a ruling. But noted the challenges. She says, when an error is so enormous, it's really hard to admit. Can you imagine the judge having to reverse his decision that this lady is dead, who's walking around and alive? You know what we have to do? We have to admit our sins. But I want you to notice what Peter does here. In our society now, you can go to churches that are involved in seeker-friendly preaching. That means you never name a sin. The pastor never names a sin from the pulpit. Let me ask you a question. How are lost people going to get convicted of their sins if they don't know what a sin really is? You have to call it by its first name. You have to admit it. That's exactly what Peter is doing. He's pointing out to these Jews, the blood of Jesus is on your hands. Notice the reaffirmation of who Jesus is in verse 33. Exalted to the right hand of God, he was received from the Father, the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you see now and hear. So we find that Jesus is exalted. Where is he? He is at the right hand of the Father. That is the place of ultimate authority. That is the place where he intercedes on our behalf. Have you ever come to the point that you don't know how to pray and you don't know what to pray? Well, just relax a little bit, because the Holy Spirit shares utterances that we cannot even proclaim, and those are taken through the Son to the Father by the Holy Spirit. So that's where he is, in the place of authority. It says, having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he's poured forth this which you both see and you hear. Peter has provided overwhelming evidence of who Jesus is to the ones who were responsible for his blood. Now, here we are, and you're saying, well, I bet he didn't get a good response that day. He made people mad. Let me share with you, if you'll read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to the end of the chapter, and you go to church and your preacher preaches on Romans chapter 1, verse 18 to the end of the chapter, there are people who will leave your church because you preach the Word of God. I heard David Jeremiah talking about that just the other day. Well, that's what Peter does. He just preaches the Word. Notice the results of the preaching, of resurrection preaching. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Look at verse 40. With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 people were added to that number on that day. Listen, repent, turn away from your sin, believe, then your public profession of faith is your baptism. In our churches today, we've become too simple. Jesus paid it all. Salvation is by grace. It's a free gift. But it's become an easy believism. We don't talk about lordship salvation. That's real salvation. What was he asking these Jews to do? He was asking them to go against their culture so they would be outcast if they accepted Jesus as Savior. Remember, they were of the Jewish faith. They were born Jews. If they accepted Jesus as their Savior, their family would consider them as dead. They would be outcasts with their own family. There was a cost involved in saying yes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says those who received the word, accepted the conditions, were baptized, and they amounted to more than an insignificant handful. There were 3,000 souls. You know what? If we had an evangelical revival in America, which we need desperately. We've got ungodly people that we've allowed to get elected to ruin this country. We were one nation under God. We are no more. Because the people of God are living so much like the world and won't take a stand. And I want to share with you that we need to get the Easter message out of the four walls and the message of the resurrected Savior out here to lost people like Peter did. And think about this. We're anointed and baptized with the same Holy Spirit that Peter had when he went before these Jews. I want you to write this down. Pastor that's got pancreatic cancer wrote this in 2021. And he said, every generation of man needs a personal encounter with the resurrected Lord. Every generation of man needs a personal encounter with the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's got pancreatic cancer. That's a death sentence. It may be divorce. It may be the death of a family member. It may be a job loss. It can be anything. But I want you to know, to get through this life, we have got to have the resurrected Lord in our life now, and we'll get to spend eternity with him. Master's Week on Tuesday, we did what we normally do. We went to see my sister in Columbia County. We wanted to go to the Masters. Hadn't been in 3 years. Interesting thing about her neighborhood, she's lived there about 35 years. She rode me through the hood, and on almost every lawn, there is a cross. And at night, all those crosses light up this time of the year. I thought, well, that's interesting. It's amazing you've got that many people in your neighborhood would allow a cross on their lawn. Well, the couple next door, they're wonderful. Greg owns a landscape company. His wife, Ashley, she's a stay-at-home mom. They have four boys, aged 7 to 17. The youngest one is named Jude. He's known as the Bible scholar. Their family goes to Warren Baptist Church. My sister was there in her house one day, and the 12-year-old came over and brought her some banana bread and went straight to her candy jar. And he said, hope you enjoy the banana bread. And he's eating M&Ms over there. And he looked up and said, Miss Spain, do you know how old God is? My sister said, well, he said, don't worry about it. I'll go ask Jude. My 7-year-old brother, he seems to know a lot about the Bible. Well, on Friday of the Masters, my sister and Delane got to go for about 3 hours. They called me about the fourth hour and said, "Are you all right?" I said, "Uh-huh." They said, "Did you hear the ambulance and the fire truck next door?" I said, "I hadn't heard anything." Greg's picture of health, involved with his landscaping business and rambunctious with those precious boys. He developed a rash about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Went to 3 doctors and they said, "Hey, I know you got pain in your arm, but you got a rash. You got shingles." So here's what he did. Master's week is spring break. He told his wife, he said, "You get your sister and you take 3 of our boys to Hilton Head, and I'm going to keep the 17-year-old home with me." So Greg's staying home with his 17-year-old. Friday morning, Greg was in the shower for too long, and the 17-year-old walked in, and his daddy dropped dead in the shower. The 17-year-old had to make the phone call to his mother down at Hilton Head. Said, "Mom, Dad is dead." This is what I want you to know. Later that afternoon, Ashley drove in with those 3 little boys. Back when they were making their crosses, Greg made the cross to go in their front yard. The first one that he made, Ashley said, "That cross is so ugly. Put it on the side of the house in the tomato patch and make another one." So Greg made another one, and they put lights on it and a timer and put it out front. I want you to know, when they drove in with the 3 kids, Ashley and her sister, late that afternoon, you know what Jude did, the little 7-year-old? He got out of the car. He walked straight over to the tomato patch. And he pulled up that ugly cross. And he went and got him some paint. And he wrote his dad's name on the crossbar, Greg Poteet. Then he picked it up. And then he just walked back and forth in his front yard. And his people came over to see the family. They saw this little 7-year-old that I think has got it. My dad knew Jesus. And I want you to know that it was his blood that paid for his salvation. And the cross is empty. And I believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will see my dad again. What did I just quote to you? Every generation of man needs to know the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Let me take that a little further. We need to know him personally. We're all going to face death, or we're going to face the rapture. The Lord may send the cancer limousine after you. He may just send the heart attack limousine after you. He may send an automobile wreck limousine after you. He may just send old age dying of natural causes. But one of these days that limousine's coming. And the question is, will we be ready? And the only way we can be ready is believe Jesus lived that sinless life. And he shed his blood on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. And then he rose again, so that we too might have eternal life. And he said, "Whosoever calls on my name," and that's the only way you're going to get to heaven, "whosoever calls on his name shall be saved." If you haven't made that decision, you need to make it this morning. Who would have thought that Greg, age 50, in great health, would have left this world about 10 o'clock on Friday morning, leaving behind a wife and 4 little boys to raise. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for the message of the resurrection. Help us to be bold like Peter and get the message out. Not being brash, not being abrasive, but we need to let people know that they're sinners, not in a condescending way, and we're all in need of a Savior. And but there's not but one way, and that's through the risen Christ. If you're here today and haven't made that decision, I'm going to invite you to do so in just a moment. If you've already made that decision, I'm going to ask today that you come forward and make it public and make be a candidate for baptism. Maybe you're here today and you've been looking for a church home. You've been our guest for a while, and God's placed it on your heart and given you peace that Pleasant Valley South is the place. We invite you to come. Lord, we want to thank you in advance for this, the most important time in your service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Richard and Dan are coming forward in the Family Life Center with the praise band. Then Ted is over here to my left and to your right. If you need to trust Christ as Savior and Lord, if you'll come forward, we start the invitation hymn and the invitation praise song in the other building. If you're a little uncomfortable coming forward and doing that, if you'll go to the Connect desk in the Family Life Center after the service, Richard and Dan will meet with you, or come to the desk in the Welcome Center. We'll be glad to meet with you. We've had several people join the church at the Connect desk and also at the Welcome desk. Just come see us after the service. If you're watching us online on your electronic device, you need prayer or need help accepting Christ and understanding that process, I just ask you to call 706-234-1841. Mark's leading us now. You come as God speaks to your heart.